right to forgive you and me of our sinfulness and still remain a faithful God because what? Because he sees that Jesus died for our sins. This is why the Bible doesn't say, my little adults, but it's always my little children. We're growing up in the Christian life. The grace, listen, law says, if you do not do this, this is the penalty. Grace says, you should not do that. This is my love for you. If you do, I'm going to forgive you, but I want you to keep growing.
Learn more about the perfect forgiveness God offers you at intouch.org. Would you like to hear today's message again? You can stream it on our website or download podcasts and take In Touch with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. And if you were challenged or encouraged by today's program, we'd love to hear your story. God promises to sustain believers through difficult times. And on our next program, we'll hear more biblical encouragement for the troubled heart. That's Friday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running here another wonderful day in beautiful Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. You might be saying, where in the world is that? You might be saying, how do I find that church? I'm glad you asked. We are two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We're two blocks to the east of Tropical Trail. Tropical Trail and Courtney are the two north-south roads that run through our part of Merritt Island. And then we're two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. Courtney or 520 is the east-west main thoroughfare to get from Cocoa, downtown Cocoa Village, to Cocoa Beach. So we're just a little bit north of that, two blocks, and then we're just off Courtney Parkway, which is the main intersection there in Merritt Island. So we are not far from you. And Merritt Island is a great, great community, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing there. Our job, our goal is not just to touch Merritt Island, but to touch all of Brevard County with the love of Jesus Christ. We want to, we strive to, we plan, we strategize to be a blessing to our local community, to our nation, and internationally as well. And so thank you to everybody who is a part of that. So if you are wondering, well, what are their service times? I'm glad you asked. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school. We have worship service at 10:30. We have children's church at 10:30. We have a prayer meeting that takes place Sunday nights at 6:30. We have Bible study on Wednesday night at 7 for the adults, and we have our youth meeting Wednesday nights at 7 for our teens. And we would just love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. So with that being said, today we're going back to the Word of God. Everything that we do here is the Word of God based. I remember somebody had made a statement one time. They were talking to a friend, and they said, are you sure he's not Baptist? Because of all of the emphasis that we put on the Word of God. And we absolutely love the Word of God. It is a blessing. It is our love letter from God. It is also his wisdom to help us from living a miserable, disobedient, rebellious existence, he empowers us to live a life that is empowered, that is intentional, that it brings glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you have not read it, I encourage you, get into the Word of God. Get addicted to it. Did you know that you can go from not ever having read the Word of God to saying, I do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? You can get there, and there's no one that can stop you from accomplishing that. You know, there's all sorts of different ways. You can purchase most dollar stores that I've been to, you can purchase a Bible for a dollar. If you don't have a Bible and you want a Bible, call us and we'll send you one. We'll get you one. I happen to preach from the New King James Version. I started off with the King James Version a gazillion years ago, but I moved to the New International Version when I went to college, because I wanted to reach young people in a language that they could understand. And then the New International Version changed so dramatically. I said, I need something that is going to be consistent, and yet it's easy to communicate as well. And so that's how I ended up with the New King James Version. And I consult others to help me to understand the passage better myself. But if you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. If you have a smartphone, there are several free Bible apps that are available. You can download Bible versions, like the King James Version is available with a free audio. I know a person right now that they are a better listener than they are a reader. And so they listen to the Bible app. And there's just so many different tools that God has put at our disposal to enable us to be better equipped with the Word of God. So that's why we focus on it. It's settled forever in heaven and on earth. It's a truth that's not going away, no matter who's in office or who's in Congress or who sits on the Supreme Court. God's Word is going to be established forever. So I want to feast on His eternal Word. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse number 10, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So we have spent yesterday's program fixated on behold your God. And behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. He's a God of strength. He's a God of competence. He's a God of blessing. He's a God who is active. And today I want to focus on a few other attributes of God that you will notice, that you will pick up on the more that you behold Him, the more that you study Him, the more that you spend time with Him. And it says, first of all, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. I've never raised biological sheep. I've been a pastor. Pastor is a word that means shepherd. The Bible describes that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It describes us as sheep. Sheep are primarily defenseless. They need a shepherd to take care of them. A sheep who doesn't have a shepherd has the ability to become so burdened down with the weight of their wool that it can become life-threatening. They need a shepherd who will come and remove all of that growth so that they're not damaged, that their vision is not impaired and all that. They need a shepherd. Okay? Sheep are primarily defenseless, but they can bite. And so... there is that relationship. And so my dad has had cattle, and I had my grandfather's cousin had cattle, and he had dairy cows. He would call them by name as to when it was their turn to come to the milking station. And when he would call their name, the other cows would move out of the way, and the cow that he called by name would come forward. It was amazing to watch. So I have seen that, but my dad has a few head of cattle out on his farm now, and one of the responsibilities that he has is that sometimes in the fall and winter months, he has got to provide feed for his herd. And that means that whether he wants to or not, whether the weather is acclimate, you know, or agreeable for him to do that, he's got to go out there and do that. Raising livestock is extremely difficult. It really is. One of the reasons why people don't often work on farms anymore is because it is extremely hard work. A dairy farm, you've got to milk those cows twice a day, every day, no days off. Somebody told me a statement, I heard it, and it's like, if you don't go out there, those cows are going to be very, very unhappy if they do not get milked. They want to be able to move around. They want that person in charge of taking care of them to come and take care of them. So my dad will go out there. Now, he also has to feed them. If he's going out to work in the pasture and he needs them distracted from the gate so that he can go out there, he will provide food for them, and then he'll go get the tractor, he'll go through the gate, shut the gate, and then they'll still be eating when it is time for him to return to the barn. Well, God, when you behold him and behold his work, you are going to notice that he is very concerned about making sure that the sheep have food. Sheep will have a tendency, unlike cows, they will eat a plot of land into the point where the grass will not grow back again. They need a shepherd to move them around so that they do not damage their own future food supply. So even though we are talking about seeking justice here, we're covering a lot of different gamuts of the kingdom of God and the nature of God here. And so I pray that you're not bored with this. And I'm still getting feedback and a positive nature on this. God is a wonderful God. He is a God who is a provider. So in Psalm 23, you see that the psalmist says, let me just read you the whole psalm. I can find it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want his shepherd. It means he shall not experience lack. So when you behold God as your provider, expect that there will not be any lack. That doesn't mean that if you've ignored him all these years, that you're not going to have a deficit that you're going to have to work on with God. I dug some holes for myself due to the lack of income that I had when I was very young in my life. And then I found a shovel, and if the hole wasn't already deep enough, I started digging. You know, that's not what you want to do. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when Isaiah says He will feed his flock like a shepherd. That doesn't, it is irrelevant of what the enemy is going to do. The psalmist here in Psalm 23 says, he prepares a table before me and makes my enemies watch me while I thrive. Now, let me encourage you, because you also have a responsibility when it comes to this feeding process. My dad had a bull last fall, and the bull happened to be the first calf that this mother had ever conceived. So the mother did not know how to get the calf to nurse. Well, the calf did not know how to nurse, and it was getting weaker and weaker. And so they had to go out there and teach the calf how to nurse. They had to teach the mother how to nurse the calf. And then not long after that calf was born, another calf was born. And this mother, that was not her first calf, and she got her calf nursing right away. And here's the thing. Once the first calf saw what the second calf was doing, then the buffet bar was open. And there wasn't anybody that needed to help him anymore. He was growing in such a way. He was catching up. He was making up for lost time. But he had a responsibility. So it was not too many years into me being the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, a couple showed up at our church. And they told me the name of the church that they had come from, and they told me the name of the pastor of that church. It was a name I knew, it was a name I recognized. And then they made this statement. They said, yeah, we're here because we're just not getting fed. We're just not getting fed. Now, here is what happened when I heard they're not getting fed. I know that that person knows the Word of God. I know that they teach the Word of God. I know that they preach the Word of God. So there must be a problem if they're saying that they're not getting fed. We only ran about 10 or 15 people at that time, and it's like, and you know, and believe me, I want to be the best preacher that I can be, and I preach from the Word of God, but my ego is well in check. And there was no way that I was going to buy into the misconception that, well, I must be a better preacher than that person is because they're coming here to be fed and they're not being fed over there. So here's what my response was. Okay, it wasn't to compare my preaching with his preaching. My response was this: do you own a Bible? Because if you own a Bible, then there is no one on planet Earth that is going to be able to prevent you from feeding yourself. I want to feed my flock. And so the reason my style on the radio is slightly different than when I preach in person, here on the radio, I get to go through things a lot more extensively, cover a lot more ground, if you will. But when I preach on Sunday morning, I don't get to spend, you know, 10 weeks on the book of Jude. I don't get to do that. There's a lot of topics that I got to speak on because my God knows the needs of the people that I'm listening or that are there on Sunday morning to listen. I believe that this subject that we're talking about right now on the radio is very, very important, because there is such an assault on the biblical concept of justice. And I want to give the biblical response to the erroneous concepts that are out there. So God, when you look at him, you're going to find that he feeds his flock. He will feed the young. He will feed the newborn. He will feed the adolescent. He will feed in good weather and bad weather. He is God the provider. The second thing is he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And so I want you to understand that when you behold God, you're not going to see him as an abusive God. You will find that he is a compassionate God. So the scripture says God is love. So modern people have taken that very true biblical concept and they have distorted it and substituted what biblical love looks like for what modern philosophical opinion of what love looks like. And modern love says you accept everybody, you accept everything that they do, you pat them on their head, and you tell them, you know, hey, I'm just so happy for you. Just so happy for you. There's only one significant problem, and that is the modern understanding of love has a horrific track record as far as producing enduring relationships based on a faulty understanding of what love is. Okay? And contrary to what you may have heard, I'm not denying that divorce does not take place in the church. Divorce does take place in the church, unfortunately, at times. But the statistic that says there is just as many divorces inside the church as there are outside of the church, that is not a statement that has been verified by the data. There was an article that was within probably the past 2 or 3 years ago, so that means it's probably the past 4 or 5 years ago, that says divorce in the church of people who actually attend church together on a weekly basis is a much smaller fraction of that. It's a quarter to a half of what is taking place in society as a whole. But God is compassionate. God does love the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. The New Testament says repeatedly that Jesus was moved with compassion. That means that there was such an internal pressure inside of his body, his soul, and his spirit that it literally compelled him to act and to act in a hurry. God is a compassionate God. He will carry you when you need carrying. He will gather you together. Okay? And so let me throw in this opportunity to speak up for church attendance once again. I am under no delusion that we are the only Bible preaching church in the county. I know better. I am under no delusion that people from all over the county are going to migrate to Merit Assembly of God. But I will tell you this. God wants you gathering together with the saints. Even more so as the day approaches, he doesn't want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He wants you to gather together because it's there you get to have an encounter with the shepherd. It is there that he gets to know, hey, you know what? You are safe, and I get to take care of you. I get to tend to your needs here. It's there that you get equipped to be mobilized throughout the community. It is there where you get to learn to develop your giftings and your unique skill set and identify the unique purpose that God has given to you. It is there at the gathering together of the saints that you get to be blessed by the utilization of the other people in the church with their gift set. I knew a person one time when they were utilizing their giftings and their skill set, they wanted everybody to come and be a part of that. When somebody wasn't there, they were mystified. Why aren't you there? I'm getting to use my skill set. When they weren't utilizing their skill set, they were like, well, I don't need to be there. I've got no part in that. Let me tell you something. As a pastor who gets to utilize my skill set frequently and often and extensively, that whenever I get to go, you know, I've told you we've got our general counsel coming here in a few weeks, and I'm going to get to go and sit in some services, and there's going to be the preaching of the word. There's going to be technology everywhere. There's going to be sound systems and light systems, and there's going to be offerings taken and all of that sort of stuff. And you know what? I've got no responsibility whatsoever. You know what I get to do? I get to go and I get to learn from other people using their skill sets, and I get to go and allow their giftings to be a blessing to me. A lot of people don't understand the importance of gathering. It's very, very important. Don't, if at all possible, I know that not everybody can get out and go to church. I know that. Some people can no longer drive. I understand. But if you are able, get out and gather together with the saints. It'll be a blessing. One last thing as you behold God today, and that is this. He will gently lead those who are with young. God, as you behold him, you are going to find that not only is he strong and competent, not only is he God all by himself, not only is he a blessing and active, but you will find that as he works as a provider, he works as a shepherd, he works because he's compassionate, and he works as a leader. Many people have not yet learned the blessing of allowing God to lead them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Too many people are saying, God, let's go this way, let's go this way, let's go this way. And God is saying, but that way is not the best way. You need to go this way instead. No, come on, God, come on, go, let's go this way. And they end up trying to lead God instead of allowing God to lead them. I want to tell you, you might be the CEO of a company. You might be the president of the United States of America or the head of the county or whatever. You are not as good a leader as God is. Some of God's leadership principles that he poured into Moses are still taught in leadership today because they are timeless. And I will tell you, no matter how good a leader you are, you're never going to be as good a leader as God is. Paul said, great leader, by the way, follow me as I follow Christ. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll focus on Jesus again tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com.